Grace to you and peace again from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we began a sermon series on renewing your faith, renewing your life in Christ. And we talked about what Jesus told us. He said there's one thing needful, which is the Word of God. And so we've been beginning since last week, reading one chapter of John each day. We're going to do that for 40 days and then the Gospel of Luke. And we should be on John chapter 8, and I've already heard a number of reports of being renewed in your faith through the Word, because it never returns empty. But this Word of God also teaches us that there are other things we can do to renew our faith, which are needful for us. And today I'd like to talk with you about prayer, because God most certainly tells us in His Word of our great need for it. And I want to ask, how does this renew us? How do we find new life through it? How does God renew us through prayer, and especially, how does He encourage us today in prayer? So that's our subject, prayer. What is it, first off? Prayer is communicating with God, and this is why it renews us, because it connects us with Him, and because He answers our prayers, and gives us strength, and other kinds of blessings. And we need this, because the Christian life, as we talked about last week, is not just a straight, beautiful, perfect ascent up to God. We'd really love for it to be that way, no real down times, but a lot of times it looks like this, up and down on the way up. And let me give you a couple examples here of some people who were down in the dumps. We have Moses in Numbers chapter 11. It says that when the people were crying to him, "Give us meat to eat," Moses said to God, "Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they will weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If thou wilt deal thus with me, kill me at once, if I have found favor in thy sight, that I might not see my wretchedness." Sound like a good day? He was having a terrible day. Moses himself had a terrible day. And he sought recourse in prayer. Let's take a look at someone else, Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. I mean, this guy heard the words of the Lord. Should not his life be perfect? He says in Jeremiah 20, verse 14, "Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed. Why did I come forth from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend all my days in shame? I've become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me." He was having a pretty bad day, wasn't he? And he sought recourse. He sought deliverance in prayer, and the Lord granted it to him like He granted it to Moses. Let's consider one more. Let's consider Elijah. 1 Kings 19. He's just called fire down from heaven, and which licked up all the sacrifice and the water. And he bested 400 or so of the enemy's prophets. Then right after this, he runs away to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. And it says he came to a cave there and lodged. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, I'm left, and they seek my life to take it away." He had a bad day. But he was praying this to God, and God restored him through it. And we could do the same and take our time and go through David, who drenched his bed with tears and his couch with weeping. We could go to Timothy, who needed a rekindling in his faith. We could go to Paul, who said he was crushed, unbearably crushed, despairing of life itself. We could go to Jesus himself, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and was lifting up his hands, "If the Father, if willing, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as your will be done." And it says his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. That was difficult. He was weary. He was nervous of the upcoming task before him. And he sought God in prayer. And what does it say? It says an angel appeared, strengthening him. And so the Christian life can be hard at times. We need renewal. If you have a bad, hard day, it's not because you're not a Christian. We all experience this. the life of a Christian is like this, up and down. But all these, Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, Paul, Timothy, Jesus himself, sought God in prayer and found help and strength for the day, receiving renewal in their faith from God. So this is what we're talking about. How about you? When you have a day which is a bad day, cursed be the day that I was born, you feel like that? I feel like, oh, why all is coming upon me? Well, do you seek God? Do you seek your recourse in prayer? Do you seek your help and deliverance and strength and renewal and faith from him? Can God renew you through prayer? Well, I think as I read the Bible, read the scriptures, I see three ways in which God answers our prayers. And the first one would be he changes our outward circumstances and we have only to be still. And we kind of love this one. Think of when Moses was on the sea, by the sea, and Pharaoh's host were coming up behind him, and God says to him, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, for which he'll work for you this day. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord your God will fight for you. You have only to be still." And God delivered him. He didn't have to do anything. So God sometimes, when we pray, changes our outward circumstances, and we don't have to do anything. We just sit there and watch the wonder-working power of God. We sure like that one, don't we? Then there's another scenario. which God works is he changes our outward circumstances, but through our participation. We think of the day of David here. He's fighting the Philistines, and he says, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" he asked God in prayer. "Wilt thou give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, and I'll give them into your hand." And he went up to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there, and David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a bursting flood." You know, a lot of times God works this way with us. You go to God in prayer in an hour of dire need, and he says, "Go up, for I'll be with you, and I'll give you victory, and you'll burst through like a flood." That's a great time too. So that's the second scenario. A third one would be where God doesn't change the outward circumstances, but he changes your inward heart, where he strengthens you and gives you courage. I think of Paul in 2 Timothy 4, where he says, "At my first defense, no one stood by me, all deserted me." Think about that. Every one of his friends left him, and he was surrounded by his enemies. He says, "But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength that I might proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth and saved for his heavenly kingdom. Yes, the Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom." So sometimes God changes our inward heart, gives us strength in there. And this, I think, friends, is the best. This is the finest of them all, even though we'd really rather just sit there, twiddle our thumbs, and let God send a lightning bolt down to save us, which he does sometimes. But I think the best and God's favorite, really, is when he changes and strengthens our heart and gives us courage to meet the day's battle. I remember a couple of examples here. When Beth was pregnant, she had a very strange uterus. She didn't have muscles to push down and deliver Naomi. She was in labor for a whole month. Ow. But it didn't really hurt that much because it never got very far. But a whole month we waited there. And I remember my verse that I had in those days from the days of Jehoshaphat. He said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." I didn't know what to do. That's what I said to God. And the verse after that I took to heart. He said, "Fear not. Be not dismayed, for the Lord, the battle is not yours, but God's. And you'll not need to fight in this battle. You have only to be still and see the victory of the Lord, which will work on your behalf." Of course, Beth had a little bit to do with it, but I couldn't do anything. I remember joking. I was sitting there with a baseball mitt at the end. You know, I was like, I'm bringing a little humor here, but I can't do anything here. But I kept my eyes on the Lord. I sent my prayer up to God, and he answered us with a great and mighty deliverance and gave me a beautiful, wonderful daughter and saved Beth's life, by the way, as we found out later, which could have happened. On Vicarage, I told you last week, I was down. I was depressed. I was sorely troubled, to use King James English. And God didn't deliver me out of that and say, you're not going to continue in vicarage, but he, in the midst of that, gave me endurance. He gave me courage. He gave me hope. He strengthened my heart. He gave me power on the inside to endure and brought me forth into a broad place, even to Christ Lutheran Church, praise God. So God daily answers our prayers. We ought to be encouraged in this. Do you then cast your cares before God and seek his strength for renewal? For it says in Isaiah 40, take this to heart from God. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, do you seek renewal in your life? You have a bad day, you have downturns in your Christian faith, then I say, pray. And God will answer and deliver you, giving you either strength inside or deliverance on the outside. So, it's pretty amazing. But considering how great prayer is, and the answers to prayers are, it's amazing we don't pray more, isn't it? We actually don't pray very often, and for various reasons. Sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we're bored. We think prayer is just a long speech we got to give to God. We don't believe strongly enough in the answer to come. We believe it's a one-sided conversation rather than an intimate communion. And we don't recognize our need or the power available to us. Now, there was once a young boy, 6 years old, went over to his neighbor's house. He was accustomed to praying. They sat down to a meal, and they didn't start to eat. And he said, little boy said, don't we say a prayer before supper? And the father, kind of embarrassed, said, oh, we don't take time. We're too busy for that. And the boy said, ah, you go right to it, straight like my dogs. Yep. How about you guys? Do we chow down like dogs? Even just daily in our life, do we take time to set aside to give thanks and acknowledge our dependence upon our Creator? Whereas we need to pray frequently. How about this story of a sailor who was with other fishermen out at sea? The storm was cast up on the deep. They rolled this way and that, and the other fishermen said, please pray for us, pray for us. Join us in prayer. The guy said, I haven't prayed for 15 years or entered a church. And they said, come on, please, we're sinking. And as the boat begins to go down, he's like, okay, dear Lord God, you haven't heard from me for 15 years. Deliver us from this great sea and bring us safely to land. And I promise, I won't bother you again for another 15 years. We need to pray to God often. And we need to repent, because we really don't pray as we ought to pray. We just sang Sweet Hour of Prayer, right? Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many people prayed an hour this week straight, a full hour to God? Remember Jesus on the Garden of Gethsemane? He comes up to Peter, who's sleeping, and he says, so you could not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, let's let that word come straight to you. Could you not watch 1 hour? 1 hour this week? There are 168 hours in the week. Can we give one to God? One full hour where we spend a whole hour with him? You might say, what would I say to him? Well, that's just evidence that you don't know him as well as you need to, right? And that you don't understand prayer as an intimate time and communication. So we need to set it as a priority, friends. Just like Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day. We need to set aside times. If you don't set aside a time, you're just plain not going to do it. So, let's repent and ask God to refresh our hearts in the spirit and zeal for prayer. But then how's God encourage us in prayer? How does God encourage you today and speak to you? Well, the first thing he says, I believe, is, remember, I command you to pray. Sometimes we don't go to God because we think, I'm too insignificant and my needs are not really, he's a busy guy. Why would I bring him my little needs? But remember, he said, don't come on account of your significance. He says, come because I've commanded you. Set your heart on the command rather than on your own feeling of yourself. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm 50, verse 15. Once upon a time, there was a man whose wife was seriously ill. Actually, she was in an accident. And he needed a helicopter to get her to the Washington, D.C. hospital. And he called all the hotline operators. They couldn't get a helicopter to her, and she was going to die. So you know what this man did? Very bold move. His name was David Urey, and he decided, I'm going to call the White House because my wife is dying. And he called the White House, and it was under President Nixon's administration, and the president actually dispatched his own White House helicopter, picked her up, and brought her to the hospital. Do you think God would do that for you? Does he love you that much? Does God not say, ask great things of me, and I shall give them to you? Remember Elisha? Oh, Elijah, give me a double portion of your spirit. Ah, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me, then it shall be, when I go, then it shall be given you. Well, God, he got the double spirit of Elijah. God has, through Jesus, has told us, if you ask me, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's dying to do it, if you could use that kind of language. He wants to do it desperately. So come at his command. Ask and it will be given you, he says. Another one is he invites sinners to come and pray to him. Remember Manasseh? I think, Twyla, you love this story. Manasseh, let's read about him. What a great guy he was. He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he burned his sons. Burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and practiced soothsaying and augury and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and with wizards, and he did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And then it says, God raised up the king of Assyria against him, and when he was in sore distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God received his entreaty and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem and into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Think about that. God invites sinners. Anybody here burn their children in fire? Maybe some of you have at some point practiced wizardry, sorcery, witchcraft, or the New Age type of stuff, or done much evil in the sight of the Lord. But God heard Manasseh when he humbled himself, repented, and believed, and he will hear you as well. This is what Jesus came to bring. Now, we don't want to go to God with sin, living a life of sin, and expecting our prayers to be heard. And we don't want to go doubting. But a humble sinner will be heard. And then I want to share this with you. Last week, we talked about the sword, right? The sword in the great arsenal of God in Ephesians chapter 6 is the Word of God. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith. We have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the feet shod with the equipment of the gospel of peace. We are a great soldier. I'm going to wake you up. Okay? And like a good knight, last week we talked about renewing our faith through the Word of God. But then it also says amongst the armor is prayer. Now, prayer doesn't actually have a weapon attached to it, does it? But you know what I like to think of it as? I made this for you yesterday. Like a great bow, where we take this part of our long-range weaponry for our fight against the spiritual host of wickedness, the evil forces that assail us. For this, we contend not against people, flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Take the whole armor of God, and prayer is one of them. I bid you think about prayer as, here are the quiver of your heart, taking out your concerns, your needs, your cares, your asking for renewal, your healing and that of others, to notch it and shoot this into the sky. It goes up into the air. God then directs the shaft in the right way, and it comes down and hits its mark every time. Let's say Dale needs healing here. Okay, that'll wake you up a little bit, right? But remember, this is a good arrow. This is a white arrow. This is a medicinal arrow. And I can say, Dale, I know you need healing. I know you need strength. I'm not picking you out personally here. I don't know the history, or this is not a, not revealing any secrets here. I'm just picking you out for fun here. But I could say, God, please help Dale today and strengthen him. And God will honor such prayer requests to strengthen our hearts, to strengthen courage, to change outward circumstances. And man, it does say that the devil is constantly firing his flaming darts and our shield of faith catches them. He's shooting these into the air all the time. Why don't we send a few back his way? Why don't we barrage him and send these shafts flying through the air and land on his camp and cover him such that he is not able to do anything, but that we keep him submitted and at bay and defeated. God has great and strong things for you through prayer. Take up the weaponry of his word and ask him your great request with confidence. If I doubt my prayer request, my prayer goes like this. Oh, doesn't get very far, does it? If I'm living in sin, I might go like this. And it shoots off this way. But when we simply humble ourselves before the Lord, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can pull this back with confidence and let fly. And God will bring it down in the right way and deliver us. For he's a faithful God. His name is faithful and true. And he will forgive us and bring us deliverance. Can I just share one example here? Vacation Bible School week. I got on my knees every morning and said, God, please grant safety for these children, because I don't want to have a problem. Well, one point in that week, here's little Gabby. She goes over and gets into my car, and we all pile in the car. They're all in the back seat. I slam my door shut. She goes, ow, my hand's caught in the door. Oh. It was actually caught fully in my door. She couldn't pull it out. I was like, ah. But I'd prayed that morning. I'd sent up that arrow. We pulled it out. We went inside, and about 15 minutes later, her dad arrived. He said, Gabby, can you do this? And she goes, yep, it's fine. And she went to ballet that night. Okay. But the point is, people, God, we are in a great battle. And God has given us a weapon, a bow, and a whole quiver of arrows. And he wants us giving them to him at all times. And to enjoy this conversation with him, where we don't just give him a speech about our needs, although we do give that, but he actually answers us. It says, when the cares of my heart are many, thy consolations cheer my soul. He may bring up to you in prayer an insight, a thought, someone to pray for, a scripture verse. As you're praying with him, it's not just like for an hour, all right, 40 minutes, 20 to go. Okay, here's some other things, God. It's sweet communion where he might be delivering to you at the same time, bringing up scripture, reminding you of his deliverance, giving you a comfort in your heart as you go. And so, lastly, remember this. It's about love, and it's about Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible that no man could go before God on his own, but that Jesus Christ himself came and died for our sins to forgive us. And then he broke the veil. Let's just imagine the barrier here, a great gate. He broke open that veil through his shed blood such that we can approach the Father and lay our requests right before him as dear children lay them before a dear Father. It's through Jesus Christ. So go to God confidently this week through prayer because of Jesus and what he has done in shedding his blood for our salvation and forgiveness. So, here's my challenge to you. Last week I said one chapter of John a week. This week, here's my challenge. In addition to prayer and increasing your prayer, you got 167 hours until 10 o'clock next week. Choose one of those hours, one full hour, where you're not, washing the dishes or doing other things. You can go into nature or whatever. Spend one full hour with God. You might think, oh, that's too much. I'm too busy. What if God were to appear down in Cocoa Beach this week and say, I'm sitting down here in the library down there in a particular room. You come down and ask me any question you want. Would you go? Would you take 5 minutes of it, 10 minutes of it, or the whole hour and more? Well, God's promising to do that with you this week. Spend one full hour. Choose it out. Out of 167, you got 1 hour, the whole hour with God, and see how that might just renew, change, and deliver your life. For have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Please stand, and we'll confess our faith now to each other and in prayer to God.